You are listening to the Krika Lecture Series podcast, produced by the Center for Russia, East Europe, and Central Asia at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. This and other Krika podcasts are available on SoundCloud and iTunes. For more information about Krika's lecture series and public events, visit our website at krika.wisc.edu.
With that, I'm finally ready to introduce our speaker today. And it gives me great pleasure to introduce Ostap Kin, who has been very active in translating modern and contemporary Ukrainian literature, particularly poetry, into English in the last 5, 6, 7 years. So in particular, he edited an anthology entitled New York Elegies, Ukrainian Poems on the City. He also co-translated with Vitaly Chernetsky, Yuri Andruhovich's collection Songs of a Dead Rooster. And more recently, he has been working with another co-translator, John Hennessy, on another book of Yuri Andruhovich's poems. The collection is called Set Change, and it is set to come out this year. And for that project, both Ostap Kin and John Hennessy were awarded a fellowship from the National Endowment for the Arts. And that was last year, I believe, so the project is ready. And all of that, in addition to a very important book that Ostap will be introducing to us today. I have a copy, and I will just pass it around the room so that you could take a look at it. The book is called Babyn Yar, Ukrainian Poets Respond, and it is dedicated to the response in Ukrainian poetry for over decades or half a century to the events of this mass massacre of Kyivan Jews that took place at the end of September 1941. With that, I think I'm ready to say.
Hello, everyone. Thanks so much to Professor Irina Shevelenko for your kind introduction. Thanks to you and to Krika for inviting me. And also, thanks so much to the staff of the center for helping with logistics. So I see today's book talk slash presentation in the following way. I will start off by talking about how this anthology came together. I will then focus on the chronology of poems included in the book. I will also cover some of the main problems, historical and cultural, I encountered while compiling and editing this book. And last but not least, I will also read several poems, both in their Ukrainian originals and in English translations that my co-translator John Hennessy and I came up with. So Babyn Yar, Ukrainian Poets Respond is a bilingual anthology that brings together over 40 poems written in the years 1941 till 2018. The very first poem was written by someone who was in Kyiv during the Nazi occupation. This bilingual anthology was published by the Harvard Ukrainian Research Institute and included in their newly established series called the Harvard Library of Ukrainian Literature, It's a series that develops really swiftly, and a great number of works, poems, prose, plays already appeared or are slated to appear in the near future, so check them out. The anthology is comprised of poems about Baban Yar, a site of massacre of Kyiv Jews in 1941. The poems, written originally in Ukrainian, were composed by Soviet and post-Soviet Ukrainian Jewish and non-Jewish poets. And these poems are collected for the first time in an English translation in one volume. These poems offer an array of reactions and responses, artistic responses, to the events and originate and illustrate a variety of literary traditions. As a whole, the collection generates a language that is capable of portraying the suffering and destruction of the Ukrainian Jewish population during the Holocaust, as well as other peoples killed at the site. These poems are artistic responses to the tragedy of Baban Yar and belong to various literary canons, traditions, and time frames. This anthology showcases how the events of the Holocaust, the war, and Baban Yar were perceived, endured, and later written about by several generations of poets, capturing not only themes, but producing a palette of literary styles and poetic forms. Almost all the poems, with a few exceptions, appear in English translation for the first time. Those that appear earlier in English translations, the poems by such poets as Mykola Bazan, or Ivan Drach, or Mariana Kienowska, John and I retranslated. The book also includes an introduction that tries to contextualize the problems both historically and aesthetically. And the book also features some other elements of scholarly apparatus, such as annotations to poems, a bibliography of primary and secondary sources on the history of Baban Yar. All these elements hopefully should help readers navigate through the book. And additionally, the book features the artworks by the artist Vasil Ovchinnikov, and actually one of his artworks called Memory, Pamyat, is on the cover, but also there are like a dozen of his other works dedicated to the topic of Baban Yar that kind of illustrate the poems and serve as a kind of like a bridge between textual and visual interpretation. Poetry is one of the most intimate literary genres, thus even the most painful themes can be expressed through the means of poetry. Here we have a selection of poems about one of the most horrific historical events of the 20th century, the tragedy of Baban Yar. Talking in verse may be problematic for two reasons. One, it is simply painful to talk about the events as terrifying and incomprehensible as this massacre in Kyiv in the fall of 1941. And two, it is, and it was, challenging to write about the catastrophe during the period of the Soviet regime. Regardless, various Soviet Ukrainian poets managed to create an array of responses. These responses are of particular interest to us since trapped in the circumstances of Soviet censorship, they nonetheless came up with a language that could depict through allusions, imagery, allegory, the recreated or imagined visions of the tragedy. The unique qualities and complexities of these poems are that the poets had to deal with two different systems of impossibility. They had to work with a seemingly unrepresentable historical catastrophe, and they had to write within strict Soviet ideological limitations. As one contemporary philosopher suggested, it is poetry that can represent the catastrophe after Auschwitz, not prose, since poetry is always dedicated to something that cannot be reached directly, only through hints, detours, and coded language. Poetry, with its transformations and transgressions, suggests a different take on the daunting, obnoxious. Also, poetry builds this invisible shield to protect a reader from direct encounter with the horrific. The aim of poetry about Baban Yar is to demonstrate the state of people directly or indirectly linked to the events. In the Soviet era, this had to be done in an encrypted language. In post-Soviet times, the poems attempt to invent a form or sets of form to reflect the picture of total destruction and abandonment. Half of the Holocaust victims, nearly 3 million people, were killed in the Soviet Union, and a significant number of these victims were murdered in what is now Ukraine. One of the most significant places of Jewish population of pre-war Ukraine is Baban Yar, then an outskirt of Kyiv, and now a part of the city. From September 29 to September 30, 1941, almost 34,000 Kyiv Jews were marched to the site and killed in the ravine. So this is the largest single Nazi shooting of Jews in the Soviet Union. The killings went on, and in the course of Kyiv's Nazi occupation, between 100,000 and 150,000 perished in Baban Yar, most of them Jews. Other killed included patients from psychiatric institutions, representatives of other nationalities inhabiting the city, several Romani camps, Soviet prisoners of war, detained partisans, sailors, members of the Ukrainian nationalist movement, communists, and others. Right after the end of the war, the Communist Party of the Soviet Union prohibited the study of Baban Yar in particular and of the Holocaust in general. The Communist Party opted to underline the historian Karl Berghoff suggested that the Nazis also, quote, put to death tens of thousands of non-Jews in the ravine, and therefore, quote, refused to acknowledge that the first massacres at Baban Yar amounted to an unparalleled war crime, the attempt to kill every Jewish man and woman and child and infant in the city at the time. While reading all the poems collected here, readers can see the way poets have worked with the theme of the Holocaust and Baban Yar, and they can notice and trace the changes to poetic language. In this volume, first of all, several poetic traditions of Soviet and post-Soviet Ukrainian literature are gathered for the first time. And the book showcases the voices born in a time of particular historical, political, and sociolinguistic atmosphere. Many of the collected poems have appeared long ago and were rarely reprinted or anthologized in Ukrainian. Ranging from the early 1940s to present day, the poems deal with one of the everlasting questions: can we have poetry written about the Holocaust in Ukraine? What kind of poetry was it, and what sort of poetry do we anticipate in the future? Have the poets already come up with a poetic language to express the historical catastrophe, or is it still in the process of creation? So the poems featured in the book can be roughly divided into three periods, although these periods can also have their subdivisions. So the first period includes the years 1941 to 1946, the time of the Nazi occupation, as well as the period after Kyiv was recaptured by the Soviet army. The poems from this period, in turn, can be divided into at least three groups. One, works created by someone who lived in the city during the Nazi occupation and witnessed the events. So we don't have that many poems, but we have, for example, all kinds of diaries written during that time. Then in 1942, we have several poetic responses written by the Soviet Ukrainian poets who escaped Ukraine during the evacuation, and such influential names in Ukrainian literature as Pavlo Tichina, Maxim Rilsky, Volodymyr Sysura, and three poems composed by poets who returned to or visited the city after it was recaptured by the Red Army in 1943. And some of these poets were Mykola Baran and Volodymyr Sysura, as well as some younger poets who had just come of age at that time. So I would like to start off by reading a poem by Mykola Baran, who is an important representative of Ukrainian modernist tradition of the 1920s and 1930s. As I mentioned, he arrived in Kyiv after it was recaptured by the Soviet army, and he was one of the first who, along with Alexander Dovzhenko and several other writers, to witness what transformations happened to the city. And he was also one of those who ended up going to the Baban Yar site. His poem is called Yar in Ukrainian, or Ravine. I will read first the Ukrainian original and then the English translation. Руді провалля, гнилища зелені, завалений зотлілим сміттям рів, жахаючись, вриваються в легені зловіщий вітер ржавих пустирів. Не бліднути, не скніти, не здригатись, стоять, як суд, як войовник стоять, замало клятв, щоб ними присягатись, що проклинати не стає проклять. Звичайний яр, брудний і неохайний, тремтляві віти двох блідих осик. Ні, це не тиша, незгасимий крик 100 тисяч серць, предсмертний крик отчайний. Сріблястий попіл спалених кісток, людського лоба тріснутий шматок. Розпались яру здвигнуті укоси, повзуть із ями золотисті коси. В землі не скрилось, тліном не взялось, видке і ніжне золото волось. Блищать на мокрій твані крутоярів розбите скло старечих окулярів. І дотліває кинутий на бік закровлений дитячий черевик. Зарито в землю, втоптано у глину, жахливий слід 100-тисячного тліну, слизький і жирний замісився глей розкришеними рештками людей. Це тут ревіли вогнища багрові, це тут шкварчали нафти ручаї, і в трупах жадно рилися палії, шукаючи скарбів на мертвякові. Тяжкий, гнітучий і нестерпний дим підносився над моторошним яром. Він дихав смертю, він душив кошмаром. Повзав в доми страховищем глухим. Багрові чорні полохи блукали по занімілій від жаху землі, кривавили злим відблиском квартали, бруднили житель київських шпилі. І бачив люд своїх скорботних сховищ, як за вінцем кирилівських будов, за тополями дальніми кладовищ, горіла страшно їхня плоть і кров. Могильний вітер з тих ярів повіяв, чад смертних вогнищ, тіл димучих згар. Дивився Київ, гнівнолиций Київ, як в полум'ї метався Бабин Яр. За пломінь цей не може бути покути, за погар цей нема ще міри мсти. Будь проклят той, хто звабиться забути, будь проклят той, хто скаже нам прости.
Of course.
Auburn chasms, green clay canyons, a ravine full of smoldering garbage. It's terrifying, this wasteland blasts a sinister wind through your lungs. Don't blench, don't wilt, don't shiver. Stand as if you are in court. Stand like a warrior. There aren't any oaths you can take. You don't even have the right to expletives. A typical ravine, dirty and shabby, the trembling branches of two pale aspens. No, this isn't silence, endless howling, a desperate death cry of 100,000 hearts. Silver dust of burned bones, a cracked piece of human forehead, the ravine's shifting slopes fall apart, golden braids crawl from the ravine. The delicate curly golden hair didn't disappear underground, turned to dust. The broken lens of an old man's glasses glitters in the wet mud of steep ravines. And smoldering, thrown to the side, a child's shoe covered in blood. Buried in soil, trampled in clay, horrific signs, the traces, of 100,000. The soil grows slippery, vicious, and changes color from mixing with human remains. Here is where the crimson fire roared. Here is where the streams of gasoline sizzled, and those in charge of burning first greedily ransacked the corpses for loot. Thick, deplorable, unbearable smoke rose high from the hideous ravine. It exalted death, choked people with terror, ravaged houses like a poltergeist. Scarlet and black terrors wandered across the land, numb from horror, oozed through neighborhoods, covering all in blood, reflecting evil, soiling Kyiv's spires. And people saw from their mournful shelters how beyond the crowns of Kirillov's buildings, beyond the poplars of distant cemeteries, their flesh and blood were brutally burned. The smoke of deadly fires of burning bodies, Kyiv watched Kyiv with its irate face, while flames rampaged through Baban Yar. For this flame, there can't be any atonement. For this scorched terrain, there is no measure of vengeance. Be blamed, everyone tempted to forget. Be blamed, anyone who tells us to forgive. So after the approximately until 46, it was still possible to find poems written about Baban Yar, but following the next years, we have the period of 1948-1949, when it was especially difficult phase in the history of Ukrainian Jewry, when a large number of Ukrainian Jews in the literary field were publicly humiliated in the press and endured severe pressure as part of a state orchestrated anti-Semitic campaigns. Many topics related to Baban Yar simply ceased to be published for more than a decade, and the poems from this second period began appearing in the early 1960s, partially coinciding with the 20th and 25th anniversaries of the mass killings. So the second period lasted, again, very roughly through the 1970s and until the 80s, and basically until the collapse of the Soviet Union in 1991. And the number of authors who published in the second period is rather large and includes many official poets. this category also includes poets of different types, and one of them, for example, is Leonid Peromaisky, the modernist poet who began his literary career all the way in the 1920s. And on the other hand, poets who emerged or began to write in the 1950s, 60s, and later on. I now am going to read two poems from that period by Leonid Peromaisky and also by Moisei Fishbein. For the sake of time, I probably should read only, what is better, to read in Ukrainian, you will follow English, or to read in English?
English, I think.
Okay, so let's do it in English. But there will be Ukrainian original in case you would like to follow. So this is by Leonid Peromaisky. In Ukrainian it's called Vbabanem Яру. It's from, as you see, 1968. In English it's at Baban Yar. Stand near me, stand close, my son. I will cover your eyes with my hand, so you don't see your death, but only the blood on your fingers in the sun, the blood that became yours too, and is about to spill on the ground. This one is by Moisei Fishbein. It is from early 1970s. Moisei Fishbein was originally from the city of Chernivtsi, but he moved to Kyiv, and he was working closely with Mykola Baran, whom we just heard in the very beginning, and who is also kind of influenced by this tradition of modernism, and kind of is trying to reinvent this new language within quite a different Soviet literary environment. And this one is called Yar in Ukrainian, or Ravine in the English. It consists of two parts. Into the morning silence, the bird wings beat, a solitary voice, a solitary star. Yesterday's traces aren't erased yet. An evening without a lullaby. Rochele still sleeps with no hole in her temple. A solitary voice. The star is already gone. Birds observe the ground from a cold sky. Scuffle, clatter, squeak, tramp. They walk on cold, firm cobblestones. They carry Rachele with no hole in her temple. Here it is. Her temple, a child's temple with no hole. They carry her there to the machine guns. Scuffle, clatter, squeak, tramp. From the sky, the birds observe the ground. Above Baban Yar, the cranes fly, the wailing of September. Above Baban Yar, the cranes fly, like the last hope. The black shadows fly in the dark silence, in their solitude. Above the fall, they fly, above nights and days, these bodies of cranes, and they carry the unattainable on each wing and disappear into a mirage. Above Baban Yar, the cranes fly, these lamentations of September. And after the collapse of the Soviet Union, what we have is a totally new period when there is no Soviet censorship restrictions as well as no self-censorship. And we see kind of like an appearance of a new set of poets working with the theme of Baban Yar. So they were poets were unrestrained from fear of the state and its censors and the suffocated political atmosphere of the Soviet Union. And these political developments opened the doors to the introduction of new stylistic approaches and allowed discussion of Baban Yar in a way tremendously different from that of the past. And from this period till nowadays, I would like to read two poems, one by Boris Dabo Nikolaev and another one by Mariana Kianovska. So the first one is by Boris Dabo Nikolaev and it's called Vyprobovanie tragedii or Tested by Tragedy. Street, swish, shush, swoosh of shoe bottoms from Halitska Square westward to the sun like anthracite to Baban Yar. Street, swish, shush, swoosh, swoosh, swoosh. Kyiv was silent, but did it listen?
Could you read it in Ukraine?
Sure. Випробування трагедії. Шлях, 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 шелех, шелест, шерех, підошв з Галицької площі на захід до сонця, антрацит, наче у яр бабен, шлях, шелех, шелест, шерех, шерех, шерех. Київ мов чав, чав, чав. А чи чув, чув, чув? And the last poet I would like to read today is Mariana Kianovska, who several years ago published a collection of poems called Baban Yar Holosame, which we can translate into English as the voices of Baban Yar, and which is probably one of the most unusual approaches in poetry, and what she is offering is a new, fresh, maybe little used method of approaching the victims by performing their voices. In other words, she looks at the city and its catastrophe through the eyes of its inhabitants. And in her poems, the victims are given voices to tell their stories, while they may call to mind eyewitness accounts recorded years after the event took place. Kianowska's subjects are not being interviewed or recorded years later. It is as if they share their stories right after the event, or as the events are unfolding, as if their voices have survived in order to relate their experiences that they have gone through. The poet is relying not only on the tradition of Ukrainian modernism, but also on the radical methods offered by various other European modernists. And by applying these approaches to her confessional writing, Kianowska is able to construct a persuasive narrative full of emotions and give voices to anonymous victims. And I will read this poem in Ukrainian and in English. За цю війну я навіть аж підріс. За цю війну я навіть аж підріс. Ходив у другий клас, тепер я був би у третьому. Болить розбитий ніс, ударив срулік. Я про це й забув би, якби не те, що ми із ним удвох вціліли чудом із цілого класу. Я заховався за чортополох, він ніч сидів на дереві, щоразу здригався і боявся, що впаде. Він від страху весь спітнів, казав, до нитки. Він думав, хтось лишився, та ніде, нікого. Але в їхньої сусідки знайшовся кусник хліба на столі. Він дав його мені, казав, не хочу, бо всіх вбили. Всі лежать в землі у Бабинім Яру. Земля хлюпоче, казав від крові, там живих катма. Вбивати німців, в нього є граната, вже третій день його ніде нема. Дивлюсь на жовті стрілки циферблата, годинник дідів, і давно не йде. Я скоро вмру, як він, бо час не жде. Бо як була облава, взяли всіх, і мене візьмуть, не знаю ще коли. I even managed to grow during the war. I went to second grade. Now I would have been in the third. My broken nose hurts. Srulik punched me. I would have even forgotten about it if not for the fact that he and I miraculously survived out of the whole class. I hid among thistle. He sat the whole night in a tree. Every time he shivered, I was afraid he would fall down out of fear. He was all sweaty. He sat soaked to the skin. He thought others survived, but no one, nowhere. But at his neighbor's, he found a piece of bread on the table. He gave it to me, saying he didn't want it, because all were killed, all lying in the ground, in Baban Yar, the earth soaked, he said, with blood. There are few survivors. To kill Germans, he has a grenade. He is nowhere to be found for the third day. I look at the yellow arrow on the face of my grandpa's watch, and it hasn't worked for a while. I will die soon like him, because time doesn't wait, because during the raid everyone was taken, and I will be taken. I don't know when. Thank you.